And welcome to you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdahl, C70. It's Bat at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. The Cardinals, after a very, very miserable trip out to the West Coast, come home for the best present you could have, which is facing the Pittsburgh Pirates and sweep that series, although not without maybe some red flags as well. But Tara, before we get into the Cardinals, as much grief and as much aggravation as we have gone through with this team, the Pirates have won four times since the All-Star break. I don't know how I would be able to handle that if I was a fan of the Pirates.
I was just having this conversation with someone and saying that, you know, I'm very glad that I'm not in a position to have to cover that team, because Sunday's game was just sort of this microcosm. Well, this whole series, I feel like, was sort of a microcosm of what the second half has been like for them, because throwing the ball all around, making stupid mistakes, you know, an inning when they have the lead that goes like dropped pop-up, walk, hit by pitch, 3-2 fastball. What? So many things went so terribly wrong so quickly, and that really does seem to be what the second half has been like for that team. So, I mean, fortunately for the Cardinals, they took advantage of the downtrodden, but tough to be a Pirates fan right now.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, it's frustrating for them, but it's probably a cautionary tale for the Cardinals. The Cardinals should have lost today, if you want to put it that way. They were down 8-4 late in the game, so you could say that. And they could have easily lost at least one of the other games as well. I mean, they were kind of close, and they kind of got it to the Pirates late, and that's what you're supposed to do. Don't get me wrong. You're supposed to be able to, a good team's supposed to be able to put away a bad team eventually, but you know, they didn't make it easy. It wasn't like Houston playing Baltimore last night when Houston rang up 23 runs. I mean, I'd like to see some of that, but I don't think we're going to do that. So there is some caution, because that goes on the heels of going out onto the West Coast and losing 5 to Oakland and L.A., to teams that are very good, teams that are going to be most likely in the... Well, obviously, L.A. is going to be. Oakland could be in the playoffs as a wild card. It's a little bit frustrating to see them, as great as it is to see them come around and beat the weaker teams, you know, how well is this going to serve them when they can't beat the good teams?
Yeah, I mean, not many bad teams make the postseason, right? So right. Eventually they're going to have to figure that out. The thing that works in their favor is that they play a lot of teams under 500 the rest of the season. I mean, you've got a handful of series yet with the Brewers and the Cubs. Mm-hmm. You've got the Nationals, the Diamondbacks, who can be just sneaky enough to surprise you. Other than that, I mean, they've got a schedule that really bodes well for their ability to beat bad teams, but I'm not sure that that's really going to tell us anything about whether or not we can buy into that, right? Like, this was a fun series with the Pirates from a Cardinals perspective, because they won all these games and there were some cool things that happened. I'm sure we'll talk about Lane Thomas. But it didn't necessarily give us any more of an indication that things are going to go well for them the rest of the year. And we're going to see a lot more of that as they face off against some of these teams that have struggled most of the year, even more than the Cardinals have. So it's always good to pick up the wins, don't get me wrong. In a division that has been less of a, I don't know, gauntlet, I guess, than we expected, these wins are going to be crucial. They have to win the games against the teams that they should beat. But you're right, it doesn't necessarily mean, like we've said a number of times before, that all the problems that were present on the West Coast have just magically gone away because they played better against the Pirates. I mean, a lot of teams have played better against the Pirates in the second half, as we just explained. So to go from 0-5 on the West Coast to sweeping the Pirates doesn't really tell you a lot, except that they're at least not as bad as the Pirates.
And if you're as bad as the Pirates, then you're not having many of these conversations. And it helped that, you know, as we talk about teams playing weaker teams, the Cubs went into Cincinnati and lost 2 out of 3. The Reds are a better team than they have been, and they're it's a tough thing to do. But the Cubs have been so bad on the road. Thankfully, you know, they lost 2, and the Cardinals were able to move from 4 back to 2 back. And I think that helps us feel a little bit better about this as well. They slipped past the Brewers today. They're back into second place. I think it would have been really frustrating to go through this weekend and sweep the Pirates and stay 4 games behind the Cubs. Glad that we didn't have to worry about that. And like you said, you know, the Cardinals have a lot of games with the Cubs left. I think they've still got six or seven series in both places, at least. Oh, they got more than that, don't they? Because they have games in September and in August. So,
right.
And the Brewers as well. So they can control their own destiny, if you will. But, you know, how far they're going to go into the postseason, if they do. You know, yes, postseason's crapshoot, but you'd like to see them fix a few of their problems. And we don't really want to spend the whole time talking about their problems. One of their problems has been trying to figure out who's going to play in the outfield. And thankfully, they actually found an outfielder. I don't know where this guy came from. He just came out of the blue. I mean, you know, it's not like
Lane Thomas. They don't have any of them anywhere to be found. So
none. I mean, you can't spare one for a trade for a pitcher at all. And then this Lane Thomas guy, I mean, I don't know. Did he just show up today and throw on a jersey? Because he's obviously not, been around.
They were mistaking him for, like, Tyler O'Neill. That's not the same guy? Same? Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe they thought he and Tommy Edmund were the same guy. And that might explain a lot of the problems. Lane Thomas, again, you know, we've talked about a lot about how the Cardinals continue to run out Edmund and Munoz in the outfield while not starting Lane Thomas. This was, it's his second start of the year. And he's been, I know he's been in the minors for some of that time, but he's been up for a good few weeks, feels like. I'd have to go look and see. And he's not starting in a situation where you do have Tommy Edmund, who has been struggling, although as of he kind of got healthy this weekend as well. So it was really good to see him get out there, and then for him to have really a heck of a day. A ground out that I didn't see it on. I was listening to the radio, and John Rooney was sure that he was safe. And the
replay, I also was.
Yeah, it sounds like replay did not do the Cardinals any favors this weekend.
No.
And it's a significant argument to the fact of why the heck do you have replay when obvious plays like that can be won't get overturned by it. But, you know, probably I think Angel Hernandez was in Cincinnati. I thought maybe it was his home in New York. But, you know, he got a chance to he should have had a single, then had a triple, had the grand slam that put the Cardinals on top. Just a wonderful day for him. And it's really good to see him take advantage of this because it's been very easy. There were some comments by Mo and others that I think if he had gone 0 for 4 today, you could have seen him back to Memphis. And maybe either Harrison Bader coming back up or maybe them finally bringing up Randy Rosarena. But for him to take a hold of that possibility and do something with it was great to see.
Yeah, you know, the only good thing about the Tommy Edmund, Jairo Munoz in the outfield thing is that it lent itself to, I'm pretty sure, my most popular tweet of all time.
Yes.
So, thanks.
Most stolen tweet
for that.
Probably, too.
Yeah, most stolen tweet for sure. Y'all out there sharing the infielders in the outfield picture, you're welcome. I can't even talk about Lane Thomas. It just turns into talking about Tommy Edman and Jairo Munoz. It's a thing. But you're right, big day for him in a lot of ways. I mean, making plays in center field, doing everything he needed to do at the plate, showing he can run a little bit. I mean, he looks like he belongs. And again, this is against the Pirates, right? And we talked about the inning in which he hit the grand slam, not exactly a shining example of the kind of pitching that you'll see in the postseason, but that doesn't take away from the fact that Lane Thomas had an opportunity and he made absolutely the most of it. And I don't know what that does for his day-to-day job description going forward. I don't know how you incorporate these guys that seem to be the jumpstart they're looking for, who aren't necessarily the regular starters, and, you know, don't leave somebody out that really should be on the field. That's why Tommy Edman was playing in right field anyway, because he's been that spark at times, although not as consistently as I think Mike Schilt would lead mm-hmm. you to believe, but that's a different story. So it does, as has become the word of the season, complicate things a bit, but in, I think, the best way, right? To know that you have that guy there, it does sort of reiterate for me the absurdity of not being willing to trade one of those major league capable outfielders for the pitching that they so desperately need. Because look, we're talking about playing Munoz and Edman in right field over Lane Thomas and Randy Arozarena, who hasn't even gotten a chance yet, but might be the best offensive spark that they could get at this point. There are some who think that Thomas is just as good or better at the plate, but the point is, the Cardinals have those options. They have Harrison Bader, who has seemed to pick it up a little bit in his stint at Memphis, and then you have Tyler O'Neill, who's injured right now, but when he's not, he's good. So they have all of these options. They've added to it by converting infielders as needed, and they couldn't spare one or two of those guys to get the thing that they seem to really need, which a lot of people will argue with me about because of the inconsistency of the offense. But look, the pitching's going to become a problem down the stretch, even more than it has been at times already, and they have 9,000 outfielders. So it just sort of reiterates that issue for me. Again, I've taken a positive and turned it back into a negative. You're welcome. But Lane Thomas, solid day, to say the least. Really, honestly, that Grand Slam was one of the more exciting moments, at least in this last little stretch. There have been some cool moments already this year, but that one was cool on a lot of levels, because it was a big moment, because it took the lead, because of Marcelo Zuna's reaction, which was fantastic, because it capped off such a great day for Lane Thomas, because it kind of gave credence to this outcry of people who have been asking for him to be in the lineup more often. So many parts of what happened were such a positive and such a high that it was certainly one that I don't think any of those guys are going to forget anytime soon.
I wouldn't think so. And, you know, again, if nothing else, I mean, that's huge moments for Lane Thomas to always have, even if nothing else comes about his career, which hopefully it will. As you slid into the negatives, you know, it is easy to do with this team. But you did point out the fact that the rotation is going to need a fifth starter. They were able to skip it this time. They sent Miles Michaelis out there today, which didn't actually turn out much better, I don't think, overall. Pittsburgh kind of got to him a little bit more than we would like to see. But they are not going to have that option again. The Cardinals go on a stretch of, I think, another 17-game stretch where they don't have any off days. And so as of right now, which is a little bit more disheartening than the last time they made this announcement, Michael Walker is set to go for the fifth starter spot. The last time they made this announcement was for the trade deadline, and we thought, hey, there's somebody else will do it. Not going to happen this time. So there's a good chance, most likely, that Michael Walker will take the ball against the fifth starter spot this time around. Now, I'm not sure. Let's see. He'll face – who will he face? He's not facing the Royals. Do they go to Cincinnati after that?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's Michael Walker in Great American Ballpark. I can't see how this could go wrong at all, because ball never leaves the yard there.
No. Nobody hits home runs in that ballpark. No. How many games did the Reds beat the Cubs this?
Two.
Yeah.
And he'll probably be up against, you know, somebody like Trevor Bauer or something.
Yeah. Which, it's going to be great.
Yeah. So, again, you and I were talking earlier about this, and we still can't really figure this out, why the Cardinals aren't doing more with Ryan Helsley. Ryan Helsley's a starter, has been a starter in his career. He's gone back and forth this year. They've kind of not only gone back and forth from Memphis to St. Louis, but gone back and forth from the rotation to the bullpen, with this idea that they're going to, you know, have him be a multi-inning reliever, back to being a starter, and now he came in relief of Michael Wacha against the Dodgers and threw three scoreless innings. I'm not really sure why they don't give him a shot again. Maybe he only goes three innings to start a game, but I'd rather see him go three innings and maybe not give up a run or give up one or two than Michael Wacha go three innings and give up six. But for some reason, the Cardinals don't really want to do that, and I really can't figure out why.
Yeah, the Helsley situation has been one of the... I was going to say one of the more bizarre this year, but I don't know. There's quite a list.
Yeah.
I'll have to rank those later.
Narrow it down. Yeah.
But it has been strange. And, you know, to hear John Mozeliak talk about him leading into the season, they seem to really like what they had in Ryan Helsley and believe that he was a guy that was going to make an impact. We've talked about this before, the sort of yo-yo effect with these minor league starters that come up and pitch as relievers and then go back to being starters only sort of. And then, you know, what do you do with them when you need a guy to go more than an inning or two? Mm-hmm. And you've already transitioned to that. It creates sort of this weird time gap where you've turned them into one thing but only sort of effectively, and then what do you do to get them back to where they can be a different thing? We've talked about that with other guys in the past. We talked about it with Dakota Hudson. We talked about it with Jordan Hicks last year, right? You know, what do you do to get the best value out of these guys? It seems like the Cardinals were going the Ryan Helsley's going to be a reliever route, but then didn't really do that effectively either. So, yeah, he's in this strange position now where he's there in the bullpen, but what they really need is a starter. So, you know, how do you maybe make the most effective use of what you can get out of Ryan Helsley right now? I agree. I think you start him. Maybe he only goes three innings, and then you go from there. I mean, if you're going to do this sort of fifth spot in the rotation by committee thing, I think that Ryan Helsley kind of has to be the centerpiece of that, right? To get maybe a fresher arm, to be somebody that doesn't have much of a track record yet at this point, just a clean slate, can start from scratch and maybe not expect to give up four or five runs in the first inning or two. And then you can maybe utilize Michael Wacha out of the bullpen. We saw him do that more effectively than he did when he was trying to start, only go through, you know, the bottom half of the lineup, or only go through the lineup one time instead of two and a half times, although the first time didn't go so well his last time out, so I'm not sure how that's going to help. But there are ways they can do that. There are ways they can use the arms that they have. It just, if you're not doing that with Ryan Helsley, I still think you're going to run into the same problems that we've been worried about all season, and that is not that there aren't ways to put guys in spots, but that you're going to run out of guys to eat up innings. You just aren't going to have enough fresh arms, enough guys who are rested enough to be consistent to do that every 5 days, and then also take care of the other 4 days of the week with starters who haven't notoriously been going deep into games most of the season. You're just not going to have enough arms to cover those innings if, you know, you don't use Ryan Helsley more effectively, I don't think.
Yeah, it's of course, pitching has been an issue for the Cardinals all year long, kind of why we thought they'd get another one at the deadline. But it doesn't seem like, I mean, some of it's not their fault because some of the results have just not been there. And some of there's been injuries. We can talk a little bit about Alex Reyes or maybe here in a minute. But their usage of some of their assets has got to play into that as well. And I don't, again, you know, the idea of Carlos Martinez, and we don't understand that completely. How much that's on Carlos, how much of that's on the team, how much of that's on some random force in the universe, I don't know. But yeah, it just feels like they've drug their feet a little bit on how they're going to use things. And again, you know, I'm sure they plan to be able to use Austin Gomber by now. They definitely thought they'd have Alex Reyes by now. You know, those guys being gone does hurt. But you've got to have a plan for those kind of things as well, because, you know, it just, it doesn't all go to perfection.
Or be able to adapt
also true.
When those things don't go according to plan. I mean, it's great to have 9 guys you think could be in the rotation, but when you're down to 4 of them,
yeah,
you got to adapt and do something else.
Yeah. As we said, Alex Reyes went back to St. Louis today or this week, still having pain in his shoulder, tricep, somewhere in that area. I don't exactly know. I'm not sure he knows exactly. There's just extra pain. I thought it was very interesting. The Cardinals gave him an examination, then they encouraged him to get a second opinion, which is interesting. I don't know that I've ever seen it go that way. But it really feels like no matter what the situation, no matter what the diagnosis, no matter what the second opinion, Alex Reyes is not going to pitch again this year. And basically going to have 3 years of, you know, 7 or 8 innings for the 3 years at the big league level. And he doesn't have a whole lot more than that at Memphis. He hasn't pitched since sometime in June. And so where do we stand with Alex Reyes? Can we stand anywhere with Alex Reyes? Or, you know, I know in the aftermath of this, there was some idea that the Cardinals should just kind of cut their losses on him. I don't know that I'd go that far yet, because I still think there's potential there, but it's getting harder and harder to see it.
Yeah, I think it's as hard not to as it is to go that route at this point, which is a weird way to say that, but I hope it makes sense. I mean, it's hard to expect anything from him at this point. It's also hard to give up on the potential.
Right.
You know, I kind of feel like he's either going to be one of the greatest comeback stories of all time or one of the biggest disappointments in this organization in a long time. Because, I mean, everybody talked about Alex Reyes, and I saw it with my own eyes on his rehab trail last year. You talk about his stuff without words that can really give you an adequate picture of how good it is. We all talk about how good Carlos Martinez is at his best, and everyone expected Alex Reyes to be better than that. I mean, that's a rare talent and something that, you know, it's so difficult when you look at these repeat injuries, because then you start thinking about, you know, what part of the mechanics of his throwing motion causes this? And if you start to adapt too much, how much is he going to lose off of that ability that seemed so natural and seemed so extraordinary? So it just becomes a whole muddled mess when you think about what Alex Reyes could become at this point because of how many things have happened. And let's, you know, be clear, he's done some of this to himself, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't all just a matter of freak injuries. Some of it's been him not putting himself in the right position or doing the things that he needs to do to, you know, sort of control his temper or make smart choices. All of those things play into this, and the Cardinals are aware of that. We've talked about that with other players in the past that, you know, maybe didn't get the fast track to St. Louis because the organization felt like they needed to grow up as people as well as developing as players. So it's been a very, very tough road. And then, of course, you add into that mix all that he's gone through off the field with his daughter's illness and the attention that takes away from what he's doing and the, you know, perspective that can give him. All of that, it just is such a story in and of itself that at this point has had no semblance of happy ending or at least happy chapter in the baseball side of things. Fortunately, his daughter has been healthy for a while now, and that I'm sure relieves some of that burden. But the point is, I get why, you know, I've been a huge proponent of Alex Reyes and very much been in the corner of let this play out and do what you have to do to get him to a point where he can compete. But at this point, it does get much harder to see that place where he can compete and can be a productive part of this rotation or pitching staff in general, because he's not been able to come even close. And we saw him at the beginning of this year and thought, this is it, and then realized that he still doesn't really know how to get big league hitters out. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't figure that out at the minor league level either. And then turns out you know, another issue, another injury, another incident, whatever. So it's a story that has a ton of potential. It's also one that has been a huge disappointment at this point. And as far as what the Cardinals do with him, I don't know what the value is there at this point, but I know that it's got to be harder and harder to expect to get any return on that investment, whether you hold on to him and hold your breath that he maybe makes it to the big leagues again, or if you try to move him or cut your losses and hope you don't get burned on the flip side of that down the road when he's pitching well for someone else.
Yeah, it's just incredible to think that he has just barely lost his rookie eligibility. He's at 53 innings, and the rookie level is 50, you know, when he got outs this year. So he's at 53 innings. He'll be arbitration eligible at the end of this year, I think, just because of the service time he put in 17 and 18 on the Major League DL. Yeah, you know, I agree. I think it's too early to cut any losses on him, and there's still going to be possibility. But I mean, it's just never going to be what we thought it was going to be. It's never going to be. And you know, again, you're right that his daughter's health is big, and you know, if he gets healthy, that would be huge. But you think about, Rick Ankiel, and the potential that was there that didn't happen, obviously for different reasons. It's tough to watch these top pitching prospects. And I mean, these aren't just, hey, they're the best guys in the organization. These are like, you know, number one, number two in all of baseball. To not live up to that or not be able to for whatever reason is frustrating. You do hope that what they can figure out what's going on now, and, you know, maybe he can get back to pitching a little bit this year, or, you know, if nothing else, come to spring next year healthy. But I feel like, and I think everybody else is the same too, you go to spring training with six or seven pitchers, and if Alex Reyes can beat them out, great. That's a bonus. But you cannot count on him being part of your depth this year. I mean, you know, we've seen that. I think it's just the point where you just can't, because, you know, as soon as you start counting on it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of had him penciled into the pitching equation for a number of years now, and I think you're right. If you decide to hope for something to happen there, you know, he's got to earn it. He's got to prove to you that that's his spot, and take it from someone else instead of being penciled in somewhere ahead of time. And that's, I don't, you know, we have seen how this has weighed on him mentally. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that does. I don't know that at this point that's motivation for him, or if it just adds to the pressure and adds to the anxiety of trying so desperately to make this dream come true and to be what he expects of himself. So, yes, that's what the Cardinals absolutely have to do. I'm just not sure how that plays out in the mind of Alex Reyes as he would go into a spring training feeling like he's starting from square one again, as opposed to finally getting a chance to be the guy that he's always expected to be.
And I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that factors into whatever postseason or offseason maneuvering they do, right? Because if they go out and get, again, it's unlikely, but say they go out and get a Garrett Cole or somebody like that, and they get maybe one other veteran guy, if Alex Reyes does pitch well enough to make this, you know, how does that play into things? Again, I think that's a, you know, well, if we have that problem, great, we'll figure it out. And it's very unlikely that you run into it. But, you know, do you, you know, I mean, it's going to be natural for John Mozeliak to hedge a little bit, I think, to some degree in this. Well, I think hedging comes natural to John Mozeliak anyway, so I don't know that has anything to do with this. But, you know, to say, man, I want to leave, I want to have a spot where he could take it, you know. Even if it's, you know, I can't, you know, but if I have three or four guys under contract for an extended period of time, it becomes harder for him, for Alex Reyes to take that, you know, take a spot from somebody like that. So, you know, does he not sign a guy that he maybe should because he wants to leave that? I mean, it would make some interesting discussions. And, of course, it would depend on what, you know, what we get the results here, you know, what's coming out of it. You know, it could be that something comes out of this and he's not expected to be healthy for much of the next year, which would be sad, which would also be pretty much par for the course, it feels mm-hmm. like, but also would let you just completely scratch him even as part of depth a little easier. So I don't know. I do hope that he comes back. I would love to, you know, I would love to see at least some part of that Alex Reyes that we thought we were going to get in 2016 or and onward. It just hasn't been there. A lot of other things we could talk about. We could talk about Carlos Martinez, and we could talk about Andrew Miller and his 2 home runs per 9. We could talk about why Colton Wong is hitting 7th, but I don't have all night, really. So I think we'll wrap it here because it's, you know, so upbeat and inspiring to end on Alex Reyes. But Cardinals do have an off day. They go to Kansas City, then they have the trip to Cincinnati. Hopefully they do better than the Cubs did. And hopefully by the next week, Tara and I are again talking about a first-place Cardinal team, but, you know, feasting on terrible teams. That's the goal. So
I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than the alternative of losing to terrible teams. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I think. So, all right. So until next week, that's Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.